Good morning. I don't know. This is like herding cats this morning. So breathe in and out. I'm going to share with you some words. It's a chant that comes from the Yogananda community that I just adore. And so I'm going to say these words and then invite you to repeat after me. And rather than sing it, we'll just say it together. And the first line is, "Oh God, beautiful." And you repeat.
Oh God, beautiful.
In the forest thou art green.
In the mountains thou art
high. In the rivers thou art restless.
In
the ocean thou art great. O God, beautiful.
O God, beautiful.
Take another deep breath. As we listen to the music now and one of our other wonderful teachers, Thich Nhat Hanh, created this variation on metta practice, and that is a loving kindness practice that comes from the Buddhist tradition. So I invite you to just take this in to your healthy body. Take this in to your brilliant mind. Take this in to your relaxed muscles. Take this in. A blessing for us individually. A blessing for us to share with others. A blessing for all of us. May I be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May you be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May we be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May I be safe and free from injury. May you be safe and free from injury. May we be safe and free from injury. May I learn to look at myself with the eyes of understanding and love. May you learn to look at yourself with the eyes of understanding and love. May we learn to look at ourselves with the eyes of understanding and love. May I be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in myself. May you be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in yourself. And may we be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in ourselves.
May I learn to identify the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in myself. May you learn to identify the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in yourself. May we learn to identify the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in ourselves. May I know how to nourish the seeds of joy in myself every day. May I and you know how to nourish the seeds of joy in yourself every day. May we know how to nourish the seeds of joy in ourselves every day. May I be free from attachment and aversion, but not be indifferent. May you be free from attachment and aversion, but not be indifferent. May we be free from attachment and aversion, but not be indifferent. And may I be able to live fresh, solid, and free. And may you be able to live fresh, solid, and free. And may we be able to live fresh, solid, and free. Together, may we be peaceful, happy, light. May we be safe and free. May we cultivate the eyes of understanding and love. May we recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness and nourish those seeds in ourselves every day. May we identify the anger, the sources of anger and craving and delusion in ourselves. May we be free. Free from attachments, free and alive, and may we live fresh, solid, and free. And so we thank you, God, for the beauty that you are. So beautiful. In the forest, in the mountains, in the rivers, in the ocean, in every set of eyes, every heart in this room. and in the set the eyes and the hearts of those who are not with us today, we bless all of them, everyone. Thank you, God. Oh, God, beautiful. Oh, God, beautiful. Amen. Have not heard that in so long. Thank you so much. That I love that song. Good morning again. How are you this morning? I heard a baby arrive. Thank you. Thank you for bringing the baby this morning. So Kevin mentioned Lent and how we've thought about Lent historically. So I have just a little intro here.
You may not remember, you may remember, I mean, it depends on how old you are. In the Bible, the season that we call Lent begins just after Jesus was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. And the story goes that the Spirit of God descended like a dove over Jesus' head, and the voice was heard to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then, you know where Jesus went after that? After this intense moment with his cousin and this baptism by the Spirit, he went into the wilderness. He went into the desert where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And we call this period Lent. Such an intense time for Jesus to move from the River Jordan to this time of fasting and temptation. You know that story. Like those who were later called the Desert Fathers, and maybe like some of us, Jesus needed to get away from the crowds and prepare himself for the barren land of the desert. Maybe when you were younger, I would love to hear this from you. You were taught about Lent as a time of fasting from something that you really liked, you know, something you really enjoyed. So if you were raised in my neighborhood and in my house, you ate no meat on Fridays and you had to give up candy. How about you? What did you give up? Rose, you gave up candy too? So candy. Anybody else? What did you have to give up? Chocolate, yeah. Yeah. You could eat lots of other things, but not chocolate. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. My dad is now, he'll be 90 years old in October, and he's still on Fridays, he wants to go to the fish fry. I mean, every Friday, all year round. It's like, it's in there. It's so deeply ingrained that there is no meat on any Friday all year round. Okay, Dad, whatever you want. So recently, let me say this. I read about another way, another experience of Lent, and it's in your Lenten booklet. It's like feasting on something that you are replacing. You're replacing something with something that's healthy and good for you. Maybe you're contributing your spare change to a worthy cause or volunteering to help someone who's in need. Instead of considering Lent to be a time of punishment for all those sins in your life, we might see it as a time of development, as a spiritual practice. So the time is ripe for spiritual practice, is it not? Oh my gosh, right? Our culture needs more spiritual practice. We all can use another spiritual practice or a developed spiritual practice. We spiritual pilgrims have an opportunity to enrich our internal life, to develop relationships and insights with each other, and to bless one another, to bless. So choose your ministry, friends. The time is indeed ripe. Which brings me to this idea of incarnational living. Does that sound familiar, incarnational living? Oh, good. So, a pilgrim story. Over 50 years ago, there were three people who received guidance from the universe, from what they call the devas, the plant guides. They were directed to go to northeast Scotland, of all places, which I understand can be kind of cold and desolate and definitely not a Palm Springs kind of resort. They were directed to bring small trailers, and in time they received all kinds of instructions on how to grow things, so gardens. So the place was dry and rocky and not very warm and not very inviting, but they began. And these three people were named Eileen and Peter Caddy and Dorothy McLean. This is in 1962. In time, they grew some very, very remarkable vegetables. We're talking about watermelons, you know, and eggplants. I mean, just like crazy big, and they weren't using drugs, you know, they weren't putting anything strange into the soil, but bigger and more nutritious than ever made any sense, and people all over the world were hearing about it.
So they had this connection with the plant divas, with the earth, and this word got out and people started to visit. I mean, they had these little trailers. That's all they had. There were three trailers when they started. But people were coming and they wanted to camp and they wanted to stay and they wanted to learn. You're shaking your head. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. And people wanted to share information and explore together. And it's still happening. It's still happening over 50 years later. And has been documented in books and articles, and now it's online, and I can't wait to go. It became a community called the Findhorn Garden. Seekers and pilgrims brought their talents of music, of eco-spirituality, of dance, of healing, and community building. And there are hundreds of people who live there now, and thousands come every year to visit because they're amazed and because they... All of us want to see God in action, don't we? We're all excited when we see God in action. Well, I'm not much of a bucket list maker. You know, I have no people who've got 100 things on their bucket list. I would lose the list. But I'm really very much drawn to this place, Findhorn. In 1970, writer and teacher David Spangler was invited to go to Findhorn to co-direct the foundation with Peter Caddy, the first director. David stayed at Findhorn for 3 years. And recently I've been getting his email things for a really long time, and I started taking the time to read them, and my eyes are open. I feel this strong pull to the work he's doing. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, okay? Are you excited? Yes. Okay. He's writing and teaching about the plant world. And he's writing and preaching and speaking about incarnational spirituality. Some years later, I just have to mention this, not that it makes me famous, but I spent a weekend at an intentional community in San Diego. I lived there a long time ago with Peter Caddy for the weekend, and we had to work on the land for a really long time to make it beautiful for Peter Caddy to arrive. But he talked about the founding of the Findhorn Garden and the Findhorn community. So what, you may ask, is this idea of incarnational spirituality? Are you wondering that? This is how he defines it. David Spangler says, it is embodiment, it is the act of resonance between individuals and the universal, a spiritual force involving empowerment and blessing. So it's a back and forth thing between all of creation and us. It's about listening to each other and tending to creation, a wholeness. Spangler invites us into a synthesis of connecting, engaging, and emerging, what he calls the creative process. Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds a little bit like Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, because they came up with this idea of the creative process. They called it, their creative process they described as mind, idea, expression. So David Spangler and the Fillmores are related, of course, just like we are all related. So in learning about Findhorn and the connection between the human and the plant world, I have to tell you that my Detroit mind was really skeptical at first, okay? Because I was taught to be skeptical about everything, and it was really good to become a unity minister. Sometime I look back at a picture of the first day when we all were told, this is your class, and you've all made it into Unity School. And I'm looking at that person and thinking, boy, she was really a brat. But she's grown a little bit since then. I'm talking about myself, no one else. So old habits die hard. Here's what writer Thomas Berry offers to us in this climate of decreased funding for forests and national parks, things we notice. He says, it's all a question of story. We are in trouble just now because we do not have a good story. We are between stories. The old story, the account of how we fit into it, is no longer effective. Yet we have not yet learned the new story. So there are some new stories that invite us into a union with the natural world. Does that make sense to anybody, union with the natural world. Amen. So I would like to share with you a couple of stories that invite us into this union. Number one, there's an author by the name of J. Allen Boone, and I read his book a really, really long time ago. It's called Kinship with All Life. He had an adventure with animals. He met this woman he was attracted to, and she wanted him to sit with her dog while she went on vacation. And because he was attracted to her, he said, okay, but he really didn't like dogs. Nonetheless, he hung out with this dog for quite a long time, and it changed his life because the dog communicated with him. And he learned to listen to life in a way that he never had. My personal story was that there were mice in my home. I called an exterminator who advertised that he used natural means to invite rodents to go elsewhere. And so I'd read about J. Allen Boone and at the same time was overwhelmed with mice and mice mess. And I thought, I don't know what to do. So I invited this environmentally conscious exterminator to come to my house and assess the situation, and he wound up telling me to buy mouse traps and how to set them and where to set them and what to put in them, and I did it. I bought the traps, but I left them in the bag and put them in the garage, and then I did one more thing. I sat in my kitchen, and I told the mice that I had the traps, and I did not want to set them. I said, it's just really, really hard. I don't want to hurt you, but you have to leave. I need you to leave my house. And rather, I'd like them to leave. I didn't want to kill them. So guess what happened? They left. Kinship with all life. I've never had a mouse in my home since then. So a creative process between humanity, society, the earth. This is what David Spangler is calling us into. A creative process between ourselves, each other, the earth, and, according to David Spangler, the cosmos. The big, big picture. Imagine that. Have any of you ever seen the film Fantastic Fungi? Oh, I'm excited to tell you this. So there was a documentary that was created in 2019. It features some of the great healers of the planet. Mushrooms. Viewers learn the healing properties of this incredible network that is so alive right under your feet, that stretches across forests and thousands of miles, these old, old networks of fungi. And we walk the earth, we'd never suspect what would be under our feet, this web of life, with the potential. I don't know if you knew this. I never knew this till I saw the video. This fungi have the capacity to clean oil spills in the ocean. Isn't that something? I looked it up yesterday, and as far as I can tell, it's on Hulu. So if you have access to Hulu, I saw it in a movie theater. I want to own it. It's so exciting. I do have to share with you, though, that one of the movie critics said, well, it starts out as a very interesting premise, and the photography is beautiful, but then it goes into some, oh, and I'm like, oh, he must be from Detroit. So if you're curious, I encourage you to see Fantastic Fungi. I believe it is available on Hulu, and friends, the man who wrote the books on which this film is based lives where? In the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. That's it. That is the same guy. Yeah, there you go. And David Spangler, the person I told you about a little bit earlier, who's talking about incarnational spirituality, lives. Last address I saw from him was Everett, Washington. So look up David Spangler. He might be a guest speaker sometime, and tell me if he is. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore suggested that when Jesus ascended to heaven, this is one of the most fantastic, I think, images and ideas that came to us from the Fillmores. They said that particles, when Jesus literally ascended into the ethers, that particles of Christ consciousness were dispersed throughout the planet. Imagine that. And that we're born with it, that we are born into that, that we are born with Christ consciousness. And we only need to develop and listen to it. Imagine. I just heard somebody sigh. So one of the 10 quietest places on earth, do you know this, the Olympic National Forest, one of the 10 quietest places on earth. At the Port Townsend Film Festival a couple years ago, I listened to a filmmaker's quest to keep the forest quiet. He actually did a film about the quietest place on earth. And in spite, right now there are some efforts to allow the Air Force and the Navy to fly overhead over the National Forest. So in this time of challenges to our natural world, our friends David Spangler, who lives in the Northwest, our friend the mushroom guy who lives down south of Olympia, they share a story. The plant devas, the spirits of the flowers and the grasses. They actually, David Spangler told a story in his emailings, that he had a moment with the green world, and they asked him for help. And here's what happened. This is where we come in, because in our unity movement, we are drawn to practical Christianity. And it's not just something in our head. You know, it's not just something for us to think about. We all know how being in the natural world can feed us, right, and bless us. So the devas ask for this. When you go outside to be blessed today, to be calmed and to feel connected and to be inspired by the earth, breathe in the oxygen that is processed for us through the plant world, and then breathe it out. Breathe out the carbon dioxide for the plant life, and bless the trees, and bless the grasses and the flowers, and bless the bees. They need our blessings. And take your time, don't be in a big hurry, and give that at least 5 minutes of your day. 5 minutes. That's incarnational spirituality. And do it every day. He said, how about if we all do it at noon? It's like, okay, Dave, I can. Why not? In the Lenten desert, I want to invite you to join the consciousness of Jesus, to continue cultivating an incarnational spirit. I invite you. Please say yes.
Yes.
Amen.